All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for your word, which is so powerful that it moves lives and changes lives. We are thankful, Father, that we can worship you in this country without fear of reprisals of any kind. We ask you now to be with us through this service. Be with those who are telling the stories of their lives. And bless our pastor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Terry. Great passage and great songs this morning. Some of them even describing the fact that our Savior came from heaven to earth to save us. Back in 1987, there was a year and a half old little girl who was playing in a vacant lot by her house. And turns out that there was a well that somebody had dug in that lot. And the well was about 8 inches in diameter, about 22 feet deep, and this little girl fell in. Maybe many of you remember the little girl, Jessica McClure. Okay, in fact, I used it as an illustration in our Sunday school class for the kids here a couple weeks ago. But here she was playing out, minding her own business. That next thing you know, she falls into this tube. She's in the ground 22 feet deep. And I don't know how long it actually took people to realize that she was down there, but it took, I think it was 52 hours then to actually get her out. But what was incredible about this is nobody really knew what to do. They sat, they thought, they brought in engineers. Nobody quite knew what to do. And how they finally ended up saving her and getting her out is they actually made a second tunnel, a wider tunnel, parallel to this one going down. They sent a guy that was small enough to fit down this new tunnel to tunnel over to her and bring her out of this. But I can't even imagine what the parents were going through in this. I can't imagine. Here she is, this little girl, 18 months old. And I don't know if you remember the video footage, but as they pulled her out, she's just this wad, really, because she'd been in there so long, bound by this. Fell into this thing completely bound. I mean, just torn up skin. It was an ugly thing. And pulled out and rescued. And as I thought of this story, I think I've even used this story before on a communion Sunday, okay? But because it really gives us a visual as to what our God has done for us, okay? Here we are. We have fallen, okay? Man has fallen. We are in a pit of despair, and we are broken. We are bound, and there is absolutely nothing that we can do to remedy the problem. We are just stuck in sin. And God, in his infinite planning, in his infinite wisdom, sent the only person to save us. And he sent him, similar to this story of Jessica, sent him down into the depths of the dirt of this earth, okay? And he came down to rescue us and pull us out to safety. In fact, our Lord and Savior himself was buried in the ground. That was part of his rescue. But now through faith in him, we have redemption. We have a rescue from sin. The bottom line is, man is fallen. He is bound. He is broken by sin. God sent Jesus' only Son to come down to our level, come alongside of us and lift us to safety. God, being a perfect God, didn't need to do that. We don't deserve anything that our God gives us. He is a perfect God in a perfect dwelling place. And as a result of our fall, as a result of our being bound in sin, we are completely separate from Him. Man is a sinner. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have fallen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But God provided a Savior. A Savior to take our own sins upon Him. He came down, this Savior, into the dirt of the earth, took our sins upon Him as He was nailed to the cross. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." That is the perfection of God. And now, through Him, we can be qualified for heaven. Man's response is faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in who He is and what He has done for us. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, while we were bound, while we were broken in sin, Jesus Christ came and died for us. And then God, as a result of placing our faith in Him, God promises in 1 John 2:25, this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. It doesn't get any more succinct than that. Well, this morning, as I've already mentioned, as we are preparing our hearts for, I hope, we're going to dedicate the entire service to communion. And I've asked a couple people just to share a little bit of their story, a little bit of their life story, yes, but certainly how the Lord has worked in their life, what the Lord has done for them, in particular, perhaps the salvation. Perhaps the day that they recognized the salvation that God offers, but what the Lord Jesus has done in their life. And I'm going to pray for them right now, and then Rosie, we'll have you go first, and then Bonnie second. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank You for this morning. We thank You for this ordinance of communion that our Lord and Savior established over 2,000 years ago now, Lord, as a means of remembrance. And I thank You for the opportunity for these two, Rosie and Bonnie, to remember what You've done in their lives, the places, Lord, that You've brought them to and through, that brought them to a saving knowledge of You, and Lord, how You've worked in their lives since. I do pray for Rosie and Bonnie this morning, and just pray that You would give them confidence as they share, that their confidence would rest in You and Your empowering of them this morning, that You would give them clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Lord, I just so look forward to these times. And while I've heard both of their stories before, it has been a while, and I'm looking forward, Lord, to glorifying You as a result of what You've done in these two lives. And I pray, Lord, for each of us here this morning, that as we listen, perhaps it would bring to mind bits and pieces of our own story. And as communion is an opportunity and really designed as a remembrance, I pray that would happen in our own minds this morning as we listen. Just ask Your blessing upon Rosie and Bonnie and their time and their sharing. May it all be to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Rosie.
Well, I'm excited because I want to share with you how God saved me. God's done a lot of things in my life, but when He saved me, it was great. And before he saved me, I was a really sad, depressed teenage girl that never smiled. And it was really heartbreaking because I had gone through a lot when I was little. So I'm going to start out saying I was born and raised in Henderson, Nevada. I have still four older sisters and two older brothers. I had a wonderful family, and we were all raised Catholic. We were all made our first Holy Communion, and we went to church all the time. Well, when I was five, I had told my mom that I have an uncle that's been very bad, and he was hurting me. So my mom later on took me to the doctor at five, made sure I was okay, and then she goes, we're going to go to the police station. So at five, I had to give a police report because you can't hurt little kids. And then I remember with my mom and dad, I thought, wow, I'm going on a special trip to Vegas. And we're at the courthouse. And I said, I'm not talking. You can't make me talk. So during all that time, which is pretty serious, no one counseled me. No one talked to me. No one explained what was happening. And it was like it never happened. So now I'm 6 years old. I start first grade, and I gained all this weight. And back then, no one was overweight. And little kids would come up to me and say, why are you so fat? I'd say, I don't know. Because everyone in my family was so skinny. So that was really hard. So I had a tough childhood. So now, what else happened? Lots of things have happened, but I just want to know why I was so sad and damaged, you know, when God saved me. So, let's see. I would lay in bed and say, what's wrong with me, for years. So now I'm 11, and it happens again. The bad man was my mom's adult cousin. But I made a promise, 11 years old, I'm never going to tell anyone it happened. And I have never told anyone until today. So now I have this deep, dark secret. Now comes the good part. I'm 13. I'm losing weight. I have another eating disorder. And the park was by my house, and it was a Friday evening, and I was told there were some church people there. And they had a guitar, and they're playing music and talking about God. So I went, and then I went again, and I went again. And then they stopped coming. I guess, you know, I don't know why, but during that time, I met this wonderful lady. She was so kind to me. Oh, my. And I know she tried to share the gospel, but I wasn't open to it yet. Because I think the first time I went, I just wanted to see if there was any cute boys. You know, I was boy crazy. So, and I really, God knew I needed a kind woman in my life because women judge me the most. They would look at me and say, oh, she's got a bad attitude. She's rude. And I wasn't. I was just had a deep, dark secret. I had an awful childhood being overweight, and I was hungry all the time. So it's hard to smile when you're starving yourself. So, and I remember this lady the last time I saw her. She goes, Rosie, I'm going to be praying for you. And I said, okay, whatever. So now it's really getting good. So now I'm 14, and my wonderful sister, Tina, she said, I've been invited to a Christian church in Las Vegas called Trinity Temple. Do you want to go? And I said, yes, yes. She said, well, let's go. It was an evening service, and it was around Christmas time in December. So we go and end up being a Christmas program with singing. I was so disappointed because I've heard all, you know, I've seen Christmas programs before. Then the preacher stands up and he says, I want everyone to stand. We're going to dismiss in prayer. And I was so sad. And then he goes, you know what? I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. He said, there is someone in this church that needs to know God. And I said, oh my. Sorry, and he gave this invitation. If you want to know the Lord, if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to give your life completely over to God, I want you to raise your hand. So I raised my hand, and I could hear him saying, I see that hand, I see that hand, I see that hand. And he goes, you can put your hand down now. I go, oh, he's talking to me. Because I didn't know you were just supposed to, I never knew about altar call. This was all new to me. So I, then he goes, everyone that raised their hand, I want you to come down to the front here so we can pray. And I remember so clearly looking at my sister going, I'm going. She goes, I'm going too. And I said, well, come on. So I'm scooting out with people, and I'm going down the aisle, and I start crying. And I wasn't a crybaby. I was tough, you know. And I'm crying and crying. And then we said this beautiful prayer. And I know you're not supposed to go by feelings. You're supposed to go by faith. But I felt God's love. I felt my sins forgiven. I felt this, oh, this deep shame and gone. And then he filled me with this inner joy. And I couldn't stop smiling. So, watch out. I told everyone. Everyone I've seen, everyone in my family, all my relatives. And I had a lot of relatives. And I said, told them what happened. And then everybody had, you know, bets going how long it would last, you know. And then someone mentioned, well, you love the Lord, you'll take your Bible to school. So I go, I love the Lord. So I took this big Bible to school every day since I graduated from high school. I didn't know what was in it, but I took it. So I, during that time, God gave me this wonderful church called the Neighborhood Church in Henderson, Nevada. And Brother Frazier was the pastor. And it was only 3 blocks from my house, so I could walk there. And I was there every time those doors were open. And when the doors weren't open, I was working in the office helping out. I mean, it was my life. And I would sit in the front row all by myself because there wasn't any other teenagers. If they did come, they sit in the back and they were bored. And I go, Lord, I'm going to start praying for more young people. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And it happened. Boy, did it happen. There was this revival in the church. And I won't go into how God took had to make it happen, because that would take too long, but it was really special. One of these days I'll share with that. But so now we have a youth group, and we have a youth leader. And it was so exciting. And kids were coming from my school and from my neighborhood and from Vegas. And I'm almost done. So now we're going to the Vegas church. It's a big church for this youth gathering. And so we're sitting there with our group, and there's lots of kids there. And they go, we want you to choose someone to represent your church and come up front and answer questions about the Bible. And everybody goes, Rosie, you have to do it. Rosie, you have to go. I go, no, let's win this. Let's pick someone that's been raised since they're in Sunday school all their life, you know. They go, no, you have to do it. I said, okay, God, I'm willing. Help me, Lord. So I'm up front, and the audience would ask questions about the Bible, and it wasn't that bad. You know, I just laughed it off. So then I go and sit down. And then this lady sitting in the front row, this church stands up. She goes, before you dismiss, might I please give a testimony? And they go, yeah, go ahead. And she goes, God brought me here, and I didn't know why until now that I've been praying for this young person for years. She's been on my heart. And now I see her up front answering questions about the Bible. And I think, oh, God, you're so good, you know, when she's testifying. And then she goes, and her name is Rosie. And I about, everybody looked at me, and I'm going, oh my gosh, that's that lady I met in the park years ago. This is how awesome our God is. And so, of course, afterwards, I went up to her, and I said, thank you for praying. She goes, God brought me here, and he answered my prayers. And then she hugged me, and then she cried forever. You know, and then I'm going to end with that, because God has worked in my life ever since then, and he has been doing things in my life that only God can do. I mean, he is so wonderful, and he brought me to this wonderful church, thanks to Jeff. And I just love this church, and I'm so thankful to be here, and that's it. Let me get my notes.
Thank you, Rosie.
The most smiley person I think I know. What an encouragement, though. I mean, if you know people that do not know the Lord, keep praying. Keep praying. Just quickly, my brother and his wife prayed for Janine and I for 10 years before we trusted Christ. We then got on his bandwagon after we trusted Christ, began praying for my sister for another 20 years before she trusted Christ. So my brother had been praying for 30 years for, anyway, thank you for that. That was an incredible story. All right, Bonnie,
oh boy,
you're up.
I don't know how I'm going to follow that. Mine is so, I don't know, generic. Well, I was born in Lewistown, Montana, in the dead of winter, but I still love the snow. I had a brother who was 5 years older than I, and he didn't have much to do with me. He was always off with the boys. And I was a girl. I had to stay home. My family was Norwegian and Lutheran. I was baptized and had godparents, whom I don't remember. I always felt loved. I always felt content because my parents spoiled us. They just doted on us. Don't remember much about the church. I was so little, but I loved the potlucks. Well, I guess that's still so, as you can tell. When I was 8, we moved to Pasadena, California, because I had whooping cough and missed a whole year of school. My mother loved Fred Astaire. And so my brother and I were sent to Meglin Studio in Los Angeles because that's where Fred Astaire went. I learned tap, ballet, acrobatics, and hula dancing. I finished my schooling and graduated in the Rose Bowl. I took a couple years at Pasadena City College. But I didn't graduate. I didn't finish it out. I just went a couple years, and that was it. We belong to the Mount of Olive Lutheran Church, just 3 blocks from the house, our place. And that's where I learned to love the church bells on Sunday morning, which I had no luck in trying to get our minister to push for the church bells. I even had a petition, and it didn't work. When I was 11, I went to confirmation every Saturday with the minister. And when I was confirmed, as I understood, I was baptized again, and I promised to follow God all of my life. Now, all these times, I never really enjoyed religion. And we just, it was something you did. You went to church on Sunday. That was it. But it didn't really mean anything to me other than I knew that I was, God was with me and he would take care of me. And that was it. You know, you just don't. That was the way it was most of my life. I didn't think much about religion, went to different churches, stayed mostly with the Lutheran. But I never looked forward to going to church. It was just something you did. That was the way it was till we came here. Craig was the first pastor that I actually wanted to hear. I couldn't get enough. I just loved the way he talked about the Lord. It all made sense, and it just drew me in. I really started wanting to know more about God. And he baptized me in the water at the Bird's home. And now you know the rest of the story. I'm here for Sunday school, the church service, and then, and the potluck, yes, but also the Bible study on Wednesday. I've never done so much church in my life. But it's all because of Craig. Where did he go? He's hiding. There you are. You're hiding. But I just love him because he has brought God to me, and I feel God now. I know he's with me. I can understand when people say God has come into your life. It's such a wonderful feeling. I'm so happy. I just...
It's not my fault.
Yes, it is your fault, because when I married you, you started in with this religion bit, and I thought... What did I do? Anyway, I love this church, and I love the people in it, and they have been so good to me. And I thank every day, I thank the Lord that we came here. We came here.
And if she hasn't hugged you yet, just be
patient. Thank you, Bonnie. That was... terrific. God is good. I think you're here more than I am. And
I go and see the church every Sunday after
that's
church.
Neat.
Look at the new church.
Yeah, it is exciting. Thank you for sharing that. That was an exciting story to hear. Very exciting. No. Yep. All right. At this time, we are going to move right on into communion. And in fact, if I could have the men that I talked to earlier come up at this time. As mentioned, communion is an opportunity to remember. That's why the Lord Jesus himself established this ordinance, so that we would remember. And thank you, Rosie and Bonnie, for helping us remember this morning, sharing your story. And I'm sure it brought to mind in each of us a little bit of remembrance concerning our story of how the Lord has worked in our life. But as we partake of these elements, they are just elements, just bread and fruit of the vine. But they symbolize our Lord Jesus. They symbolize his broken body. They symbolize his shed blood on our behalf. And my encouragement to you this morning is that as we partake of these elements, that you would just do a little spiritual inventory. Not certainly remembering the day that you trusted Christ. Remembering what our God has so graciously done for us, so freely done for us. But reflect upon as well all the things that He has done even leading up to that point, since that point, as we've heard this morning, the path that he set us on that led us to him is truly an incredible thing. And I can't get enough of the stories. But reflect upon that and then what he's done since that point in time. He still is a gracious God. He still does love us. He still does want us to continue on a path that honors his son and honors him and conforms us, transforms us really more and more into his son's likeness. So perhaps if there are some things in our life right now that are hindering that transformation, that are even hindering our prayer time with him, hindering our desire to come and fellowship with other believers, hindering our time to call upon our Lord who saves, bring those things to him this morning. Lay them at his feet. Seek his forgiveness, and he will give it. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as he talks about this ordinance, he says that we can examine ourselves and partake of this in a worthy manner with clean hands before the God who saved us. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we invite you to partake with us this morning. But John, if you would pray over the bread, please. Just hold it till everybody's served and we'll partake together. Jesus, our Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. Jeff, if you would pray over the cup, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to share together in communion. And like Craig said, hearing other people's testimonies, it's just amazing the diversity of the people and what you've done in their lives just never ceases to amaze me, and it gives me hope that people that we know not to give up on. And another amazing thing is that you knew what was coming on the cross. You knew when you started your ministry what the outcome was going to be, and you did it anyway for us. We thank you so much for the blood that you spilled to be able to wash away our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Father in heaven, we are very grateful for the way you work in the lives of individuals. Stories also very unique, so very different, but yet very much the same. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for him this morning and this opportunity to bring to mind our past as well as our future because of him. We thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll go ahead and collect the cups if you want. Okay, all right. I'll let you pass them to the end. Men will collect the cups.